Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark. In the Belly of the Beast, Volume 2, Story 1. This happened a few years ago. My brother-in-law and I were headed east on Lucia Falls Road, northeast, when we saw something on our left, sort of like it might have been a shooting star. It was still light outside, but barely. He thought it might have been a light airplane crashing. He was a medic, so we pulled over to the side of the road and got out of the truck and listened, but heard nothing. No cries for help, no sound of metal burning, just silence. This area is due south of the city of Yakult and east of Louisville, Washington, but only a stone's throw from Moulton Falls State Park proper. We had been over on Yakult Mountain Road earlier and had come down this way via Northeast Kelly Road, where it intersects with Lucia Falls Road. Thinking we should help if it was a plane down, we worked our way through the brush and trees to where the railroad tracks parallel Lucia Falls Road, and I told them one of us better run back and get a flashlight in case it is a downed plane and somebody is hurt. He yelled he was going on ahead to see if he could find the source of the flash of light and look for survivors. At this point, I stopped and turned around real quick to race back to the truck. I have a high-powered spotlight that is portable in the back, and my mind was on hoping the batteries were still good. When I turned to make my way back to the truck, I could swear I saw a big man higher up on the road near the truck, just standing there. But I caught my foot, looked down for a minute to get a better grasp on where I was stepping, and when I looked up again, he wasn't there. I called out to him but got no reply. Limping a little, I finally got to the truck. The batteries were working fine, and it was almost completely dark by the time I grabbed my wife's cell phone off the seat, tucked it into my pocket, shoulder a loop of rope just in case, and grabbed a lantern. I don't remember seeing another car on the roadway there, but I remembered wondering where this man had come from that I had seen on my way up from below the apron of the road on my way up to the truck. He was nowhere in sight. I hurried on to catch my brother-in-law and wondered too where he was, because by now I was barely finding my way and it was getting darker. I called out to him, but no answer. I moved on slowly towards where I thought I had left him at the railroad tracks. I looked both ways on the track, but didn't see anything or my brother-in-law. I called out again and listened intently. There was no sound of anything, not wind, not crickets. So I cupped my hands around my mouth and called out my brother-in-law's name in both directions of the railroad tracks. But I heard nothing, saw nothing, and began to wonder if that man figure upon the road was him a few minutes ago, but I couldn't figure out how he would have gotten there from where I had left him. I picked up a rock and placed it in a strategic spot on the rail of the tracks to mark where I should head for the road, and began walking east on the railroad tracks, aiming my lantern to the left and right of me, looking for him. Now I'm thinking something happened to him because he wasn't answering. Darkness fell quickly as I pressed on, uncertain I was going in the right direction of the flash we thought we saw. I don't know how far I walked on those tracks, but my ankle was beginning to hurt, so I stepped to loosen the strings on my shoe and called out for John again. Still no answer, and now I'm growing concerned. Should I go back and wait at the truck or press on? I listened, but heard nothing but the sound of my own breathing. I checked my watch, and it was already after 8 in the evening. I called out for John again, then turned to head back to the truck to phone home when I remembered I had my wife's cell phone in my pocket. The lantern scanned the tracks and terrain left and right of the tracks as I came back upon the marker rock I placed on the rails. No sign of John, but maybe he went in the other direction. I thought, so I left the marker rock to the road and walked the tracks in the other direction for about 15 minutes, calling out for him all the while. About the only thing I noticed was the quiet. Where was my damn brother-in-law? It's roughly 9 at night now, and no sign of John. but I didn't want to leave him behind. I sat down and pulled out the cell phone and dialed home. I tried to explain where I was and what happened, but I couldn't explain where John had wandered off to, and I told the gals that I wasn't leaving here without him. Just as I was about to hang up, I heard footsteps coming and the disturbance of gravel on the railroad ties. I flashed the lantern around and down the tracks where I heard the footsteps and thought I saw John coming. "John?" I yelled out several times. Then I told the girls he was coming and hung up the phone. John looked a mess. "Where you been, buddy?" I asked. He reached out and put his big arms around my neck and said he was glad to see me. "I didn't know you went in this direction, bud. Where you'd been and what happened to you?" He just hung on to me and said, "Can we back to the truck right now?" I asked, "Are you hurt?" "No," John replied, just scared shitless. "What happened?" "You've been gone over an hour." We started walking back towards where I had the mark of rock on the rails. John sort of leaning on me. "Man, you're not going to believe this." "Believe what?" I asked. "What the hell's going on with you, bud?" "I saw something," he said. "Something huge."
"Yeah?
What, is there a plane crash?" I asked. "I got to sit down," he groaned. My heart's coming out of my chest, and man, I didn't see any plane. We walked with arms around one another's shoulder till we got back to my marker rock to the road and sat down in the gravel and turned off the lantern. John sat in the dark for a few minutes with his head down between his knees, trying to collect himself. He was visibly shaken. He told me there was something out there. He said, "Something man-shaped, very tall, but looked like the thing had hair on it." Then I lost enough light to tell much other than it stood off to the side of the tracks in a hulking manner, me facing it and it facing me for a long time. I heard it breathing. I swear, I heard the thing breathing, and I froze. And I just froze stiff. My mind shut down, and I couldn't think what to do. "I thought I was seeing things," he continued. "It was something nightmares are made out of, and I don't recall I ever saw anything or a man that big before, and I never want to see anything like that again." I started to back up and run, but I couldn't see well, kept tripping on the rails, cross ties and falling down. "I think I'm all skinned up. Let's get home." Back home, he recounted the same story to the girls. He was all cut up on the knees, skinned up, like bleeding with one bad place on the side of his right rib, where he said he fell on something, maybe a railroad railing or one of the ties. My brother-in-law is a big man, tall, and he describes this thing he saw as huge and hairy. Then I started wondering about the dark figure I saw up on the road that I called out to when I went back for the flashlight. My son and I went back to the area the next morning and walked 2 miles in either direction but found nothing. No sign of any plane down, no fire, no nothing. From John's description, we thought maybe he had a meeting with a Sasquatch, but we aren't sure. We never did know what the flash of light was. Whatever it was scared him, and he's a seasoned hunter. Son of a slew of seasoned hunters, and he didn't drink, so I don't know what he saw. I didn't see or hear anything other than the figure on the road, but I believe my brother-in-law did, and he believes it must have been a Bigfoot.
Next story. My family owns a small secluded cabin in Southwest Virginia. This past summer, we decided to spend around 3 weeks there. The cabin has electricity and running water, but no TVs or computers. The third day of our visit, the nearest neighbor, who's a cattle farmer, lives about 2 miles down the road, came up to our cabin and informed us that during the past 2 weeks, that some of his cattle had been slaughtered and basically mutilated. There's no foxes and wolves in those hills, and occasionally a small black bear, but nothing that could do this much damage and over such a spread out time. He asked if we seen anything, and he told us to keep our eyes open if we saw a rabid fox, a bear, or any other animal that could possibly have done it. We told him we would, and he thanked us and left. The next 5 or 6 days passed uneventfully, but around a week after the farmer came to our house, we experienced something. That day, we barbecued hot dogs and hamburgers and had a small party with some close friends, but none of them stayed the night. Around 11:30, My wife and I decided to go to bed. We slept peacefully until about 3:45 a.m., when there was a loud crash outside, and our dog started barking furiously. I didn't have a rifle or any other type of weapon, so I decided to cautiously proceed downstairs and turn on the floodlights around the cabin. The switch to the lights was outside on the deck of the cabin, so I went out there and turned them on. What I saw still baffles me. At my truck, there was a creature standing upright, about 7 feet tall, with huge claws on its hands. It had white hair that was almost gray, but I couldn't really see its eyes. It seemed to be searching around the bed of my truck and was paying no attention to the now frantic dog. When the lights first came on, it did nothing but continue its search, but then it looked up at the deck. By now, it was frozen in horror, and it turned around and made eye contact with me. It then made a horrible screeching sound, almost as if it was in terror from the sight of me. At first, it seemed as if it was going to charge at me and climb the steps onto the deck. But then, in a terrorized rage, it made another screech and sprinted away. It ran upright, and its claws almost went past its knees. The next day, we left the cabin and reported what we saw to the local deputy. He dismissed it as nothing more than a bear and said we should not concern ourselves with backwoods business. Next story. This was back in 98. On a hike down a mountain trail in Shenandoah Mountains off Skyline Drive in the state of Virginia, I was following a small brook that, according to the park ranger I spoke with, said it would lead me to a waterfall at the bottom end. There I could make camp for the night. About 1 a.m., I heard this noise that scared the hell out of me. Large rocks were being thrown from what seemed to be 200 or 300 feet away up the trail. My only exit strategy was to go through the same path, and that wasn't going to happen. Not at night, and not on the same turf as whatever was making that noise. I heard heavy footprints that came to what I would say would be about 100 feet from my location, which was a tent, when I fired off a round from a .357 Magnum aimed into the ground. Whatever it was took off. I still didn't go back into the tent that night. I spent the night leaned up against a tree, covered up with a blanket, with no fire. The next morning, I quickly made my getaway. I was so scared I left my tent with only my food and water. I believe I got a good look at my intruder the night before. Understand, there was a good 4-hour hike to the car at this point. Two ridge peaks surrounded my exit path, just as they did at my venture down the hill. Halfway up the mountain, I heard the strange noise I had heard hours earlier. To my left was the rising sun coming over a ridge peak that was maybe 80 feet away at that point. Looking up, I caught a clear view of half a human figure standing over the edge of the peak with the morning sun behind its back. It was at that point I heard the horrifying scream that has haunted me until this day. It sounded like a baby screaming, then turned into the deepest, full-winded, long-drawn-out howl I've ever heard. Right now, just thinking about it makes the hair stand up on my neck. I emptied every round of that gun in the general direction of whatever it was, and then it disappeared. I ran as fast as I could, loading my gun at a full sprint uphill catty corner to the intruder. When I reached the safety of my car, I almost started crying. The relief was that great. I really got the hell scared out of me. I told the ranger at the gate where I-64 runs into the Blue Ridge Parkway, and he insisted I wait for a relief ranger to get there to take over for him. I was to then show this U.S. Park Service ranger the site to where it all took place. I did stay and waited for the relief ranger, and then he followed me to the trail I had been on. When we got there, he had this look on his face and said this part of the skyline was supposed to be closed down for the coming snow. This is interesting because the ranger who gave me the tip on a cool campsite sure didn't say anything about any closed sections due to any approaching storms. It was news to me. I think at this point, he was basically saying that they were going to close it down to investigate. But on the other hand, I think they, or he, used the upcoming bad weather for an excuse to close down that site.
Next story. Back in 1978, I first encountered this creature when I was 10 years old, living with my family outside of Corsicana, Texas, in a remote rural area where I would walk with my dogs every day to a small pond located in the back of our property. This one particular day, I thought it was strange because the dogs refused to go with me. I went anyway. I had almost made it to the pond when I looked up and noticed this creature watching me. It was leaning with its back against a tree. I stood there and stared back at it for a while, noticing its huge shoulders and height. Then I turned and ran because it appeared to take a step towards me. I looked back to see if it was chasing me, and it was gone. This creature was only an estimated 200 yards from me. I can still go back to the original place and measure the distance. It could have easily caught me if it wanted to. I ran to the house and told my mother what happened. No one believed me. Later that year, two ladies driving home from church had an encounter with one who ran across the highway in front of them. The Dallas Times-Herald newspaper reporter did an investigation and found tracks in the creek bottom. They made plaster casts and printed an article in the paper. I didn't see it again for a couple of years. After that experience, I really didn't go outside much unless someone else was with me. My brother experienced rocks being beaten together when he went to the pond. After telling my father, he decided we should not go back to the pond area anymore. I did hear it scream, and it was something I will never forget. The area we lived in was mostly flat pasture land, but there was a creek that ran in front of and beside our property called Little Rush Creek. It stayed dry most of the time. When I heard it scream, it appeared to be coming from the creek area. I did find a hair sample in a barbed wire fence that separated our property. It was about 6 inches long and matted at one end. The color was orangutan red. I brought it in the house and showed it to my mother. Once again, she didn't believe me. I kept it for a while, but when we moved, I left it behind in our old house. I wish I still had it. When we moved, we went back for our last load and decided to spend one last night in our old house. It was mid-October. After feeding our dogs outside, my brother went to the local store, which was about 5 miles away, to get something for us to eat. My mother went with him, and when she left, my father decided he wanted to build a fire in the old wood stove we had. I gathered some small pieces of wood for kindling and sat down on a swing in the front yard. It was dark outside, but our yard light was on. My father was chopping up the kindling in smaller pieces with a hammer and screwdriver. He would occasionally miss and hit the hammer on the concrete steps. I noticed something big running towards the back of the house. I looked for a moment to see what it was. The dogs were still eating and didn't notice anything. When I saw it move again, I could see the tufts of hair move on its legs. At that point, I knew exactly what it was. I yelled at the dogs to get it because it was quickly coming around the side of the house. It was looking in the windows. My dogs barked once, then seemed to get the scent and went under the house and started whining at it. I felt bad about putting them in between, but had to think fast. My father didn't know what was going on. I kept calm and told him to get in the house. He asked why. I said, just trust me and get in the house. My dogs were not scared of anything except this creature. They were hunting dogs, but wouldn't go near this animal. I explained what was outside and told him to call the sheriff. Instead, he called the local store and asked them to send my brother home as soon as he got there. My brother came home and said he didn't see anything, but also was not told over the phone what to look for. I told my mother and dad to talk in a calm voice because it was looking through the windows at us and I didn't want to alarm it. The curtains had been taken down when we moved, so I tried to keep calm and not look out the window for fear of what I might see. This entire time, the dogs outside were silent. Later that night, my mother and I were asleep in a room. I woke up when the room went dark. I could see the outline of this creature looking at me through the window. It never screamed or beat on the side of the house. It never growled. It only seemed to be curious and non-aggressive. I asked my father to buy me a camera with a telescopic lens so I could take pictures of it, but he never did. I wanted to prove their existence even at a very young age. Then, a few years later, in the mid-80s, I had another experience when I was living in Kaufman, Texas, when I noticed one walking from the neighbor's barn one morning. I could actually see the movement of the arms.
It walked, hunched over. I screamed at my brother to come outside and quickly grabbed the binoculars. We both saw it disappear into the woods. This one appeared to be more aggressive. I heard it scream also along with my two brothers that one night. When it screamed once again, my dogs didn't utter a sound. I had two horses that I rode often. I was riding at night once when my horse got spooked. There was a full moon and I decided to ride down the road. I hadn't gone far when I noticed my horse starting to get scared. He could smell something and he eventually came to a complete stop in the road. The horse turned and I could not slow him down. This was a well-seasoned horse that was a working cattle horse purchased from a ranch in Colorado. If it had been a less experienced horse, I may have been thrown that night. I don't know what scared him, but did have my sighting shortly after that night. I have so many unanswered questions about this creature. I want to know why dogs that are used to hunting wild hogs or bears won't go near this creature. Stories go back many decades describing the same creature, so I know that it's haunted this area for a long, long time. Next story. This happened back in 1972-73 in a town called Channelview, Texas. That's in Harris County, just east of Houston, off the I-10 freeway. I haven't told anyone about it for many years. That was a long, long time ago, and now I live in Washington. But I still think about those things, especially as there's a lot of things up here as well. Lucky for me, I haven't seen one after I left Texas, but I'm not looking for one. However, let me tell you about my first encounter. It was the summer of 73, and a school buddy of mine, along with my little brother, went camping not far from my house. This was a place in the middle of a large field with four ponds in it we called the dynamite holes. That's because the holes were blasted out with dynamite when they were looking for oil several years ago. We decided to put our two-man pup tent off to one side of the pond that we did most of our swimming in. There was another pond next to it that had a lot of weeds around it, so no one swam in that one. The bank was slightly elevated around the area, and I had my sleeping bag, and the water around the pond was about 10 to 15 feet away. This was the weed pond, and it was to the north of us. The next pond was the one we swam in, and it was just off to the east of us. There were two other ponds nearby. One was northeast of the weed pond and had a small area that connected with a swimming pond, and another pond that was about 50 yards southwest of the campsite. Somewhere between 10 o'clock and midnight, that night everybody went to bed. I went into my sleeping bag with my head towards the weed pond so I could see the fire we had going about 5 feet from my feet. The tent was off to my left about 20 feet. It was a clear night with hardly any breeze at all. I had my dog, and Mike, my buddy, had his also, and both dogs were lying just on the opposite side of the fire pit from me. The fire was getting low, and I was just about to fall asleep, but I could hear something walking around the west side of the weed pond heading my way. It was coming up pretty fast with long, heavy steps. I looked down at the fire because the dogs were growling and looking past me over my head. The footsteps stopped just as it got behind me. I knew the pond was 10 feet away from my head, so the thing was less than that to me. I couldn't move. All I could do was keep the sleeping bag hood over my head and keep watching the dogs. My plan was that if the thing tried to grab me, hopefully the dogs would jump up and scare it off. But all they did was stare at the thing that was behind me and growl, with their eyes as wide as silver dollars. But they never moved. After what seemed like 20 minutes, the thing went on its way around the pond, past the tent where the other two were sleeping, and out towards the open field. That's when I got out of the sleeping bag and went over to the tent to wake the others. Mike had a shotgun, but by the time they came out, it was too far away for a shot. Several hundred yards from the pond off to the east was a church, and they had lights in their parking lot. The field had been mowed not long before we went camping, so you could see the silhouette of a dog running in the field between us and the church. North of the field was several acres of woods, and that was where the thing was going. It was big, with long hair hanging from its long arms, and it was moving fast across the field, even though it was only walking. We just watched it go into the woods, and after that we grabbed all our gear and headed home. Well, that was the first encounter. The second one happened a few weeks after the camping trip. I was at home on Norrell Street in Channelview, Texas, and we had a house that was L-shaped with a small storage room on the north side. Between the storeroom and the inside corner of the L was a concrete patio, and next to the storeroom was the sliding back door that went into the den family room. It was about 9 or 10 p.m., and I was getting ready to go to bed. I was in the bathroom that was next to the inside corner of the L, and it had a window that looked out into the patio at the back of the house. The light was on next to the back door so you could see everything that was on the patio up to the side of the storeroom. As I finished my shower and was drying off, I could see the full shape of someone standing at the back sliding door, looking into the den area where my dad was sitting. My dad was in his lounge chair with his back to the door watching the television that was on the opposite wall. Although the bathroom window had water on it from the steam, I could see the thing looking in, bent forward in order to have its head low enough to be able to see in the house. This was a big person, both in height and bulk, and that was when I decided to wipe the window with my towel. I should have turned the light off in the bathroom first, but I didn't. Just as I started to wipe the window, it stood up. It looked at me, turned, and with one step was off the patio and around the storage room before I could get a good look at it. If I remember right, the size of the patio was a 6x12, so it had to take one step that covered about 5 feet to get off the patio. Anyway, I covered myself with a towel and went into the den, where my dad was thinking he may have fallen asleep with the TV on like he usually did. But he was awake in his chair and I told him what I saw. He looked at me and said, "Yeah, I know." I could see the shadow from the back door on the floor in the den. I asked him what he wanted to do about it, and he told me that there wasn't anything we could do. So much for the second encounter. A few days later, after the second encounter, I was going to walk down the street and visit with a friend of mine named Greg. My house was about in the middle of the block on the east side of the street, and Greg's house was at the end of the street to the north on the west side of the block. That put it about 6 or 7 houses away. I can't remember the time, but it was dark outside and the porch lights were on. The house across from mine and just one house north was a vacant home that some of the kids would go in so that we could smoke cigarettes and hide out from our folks. Maybe sneak a beer from home and drink it with our buddy. Well, after I walked out of the house, I could hear dogs barking from the other street behind the old vacant house. I didn't think much of it and started walking up the street to Greg's place. As soon as I made it past the old house, I heard the dogs, and they were going nuts. So I turned to see what it was that they were barking at. Just then, I saw this large thing that was in the backyard of the old house step over a 3-foot high chain link fence and start walking along the side of the house towards the street. I was about one house away by this time, and I could see his head was even with the eaves of the house as it headed to the street. That caught my attention real fast. I kept walking towards Greg's house and looking behind me every few seconds or so to keep an eye on that thing. It went to the street and started walking straight at me. I knew from all my hunting times that you don't want to run from a wild animal unless you have no other choice, because this may cause the thing to run after you like you're its food. So I started walking faster. But every time I looked behind me, the thing was getting closer and closer. I could see the long arms with long hair moving as it walked, and the steps it took were about twice as long as mine, so it was catching up with me. By this time, I was just about to start running because I couldn't walk any faster. Just as I got inside Greg's yard, I hit the gas and ran up the walk and into the house. I didn't waste time knocking or anything. I just wanted in. Everyone in the house came up to see what the problem was, and I started to tell them what happened. Greg and me, along with my little brother, He was spending the night at Greg's house with Greg's little brothers. All went out to see if we could see anything. The last I saw the thing, it was about even along the side of a large tree in the yard next to Greg's house. We went over to the tree and looked around with a flashlight, but didn't see anything. The house next to Greg's was also vacant and didn't have a porch light on. Looking at it now, as we were standing around the big tree, trying to make sense of what happened, I remember the tree was swaying and moving a lot. However, for the life of me, I can't recall any wind blowing that night. In fact, I don't think there was any wind. Weird, isn't it?